Well, on your
talk show. Recorded live.
Tonight, I have the honor of having a really dear friend, person that's become very special to me and my family, Chris Dernerin. And Chris, welcome aboard, brother.
Well, thank you, brother. And I mirror those sentiments back to the Phillips family. This is a family that is not by blood, but my spiritual, probably one of the closest families to my heart that God has given me on this earth while we dwell here for the time being.
Oh, I'll tell you, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that we have people on that God has given us on the face of this earth that we can call brothers and sisters. I mean, true brothers and sisters, like you were saying. It's there's no amount of value you can place on it. It's something that is eternal value, and it's just something that really is hard to describe. And I know that probably both of us, Chris, have felt that way about other people, and then we've been disappointed, you know, and we've been felt like let down. And that kind of causes us to grieve in our spirits sometimes. But I'm glad to know that God is faithful to us. And welcome aboard. I believe this is Dennis. I think that's correct. If that's right, let's just join this. And but anyway, I do. In fact, I'm thinking about this. I've been thinking about this quite a bit today, and I even shared this with Rosette. Before we start, I'll throw this out, and then later on, people that hear this on sermon audio can contemplate where my head is at, where it's good or bad or indifferent. You know. I was planning on going to the New Year's Eve service down at Cherokee Village, and there's been some things that have happened that have kind of caused that to go away. And so I'm thinking about possibly doing a New Year's Eve service here, not necessarily in my place. I would probably rent a room in a, you know, that would accommodate the people that might come here. And I would be willing to make the commitment to rent the room and the accommodations for like a Saturday, for like a 6-hour fellowship, and then we could have a fellowship afterwards at a, you know, a restaurant or whatever. And so I throw that out and see if there's any interest in that. And I do have, there are at least, I have two campers, and whoever wants to reserve them, one of them will sleep one, the other one would sleep two very easily. And then there's little kitchenettes in both of them and bathrooms in both of them. And they do, they would have running water in both of them and stuff, and heat and electrical. So, but anyway, I throw that out and see, and if I can get a commitment of five people to come, I'll rent a room out and in Rogers, which is only 10 minutes away from us, 15 minutes away from us. And we'll just have a fellowship over New Year's. Just something to think about. Anyway, I'm going to just kind of introduce our topic for this evening. We had quite an interesting little, I guess, culmination of bringing this, why this is even brought to the fore. Brother Chris and I, discuss different subjects that we thought were very pertinent, and there's a lot of them, enough to last both Chris and our lifetime doing talk shows together. So never for want of things to talk about. But this one is entitled Putting on the Whole Armor of God, and I think it's very timely with everything that's going on right now. We look around us, we see, this catastrophic person that's running for president of the United States, a former Secretary of State, and how she almost brought the country down. I mean, there's not enough. Once you can get started on it, it's just such a travesty what has happened. And we just look at, on the other fronts, we see, reminds me of the scriptures, wars and rumors of wars, And then someone, I think it was Brother Walt Stickle, was saying to me, which I thought was really good, and Chris has said the same thing. You can't hardly walk out of your house without, it's important we say a prayer that God would protect us and put his everlasting arms around us and shield us from the absolute corruption that we see. I mean, just down here, not too far from here, some crazy person went into a Walmart not too far from here and was going to try to start raising a ruckus. And they were able to, to ward him off, but he had weapons and everything. So anyway, I want to also welcome guest three, but tonight we're going to really talk a lot about this subject of the armor. And of course I know you all have heard that scripture, put on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places and so on. But, there's a lot more to this than what may seem to be readily apparent on the surface. We have to, before we even get into the subject, before we even get into Ephesians 6:11, I want to say this, that we cannot do anything, okay? We cannot take the next breath. We cannot pray. We cannot praise God. We cannot do anything if God has not breathed into us spiritual breath himself first. So we want to make sure we keep the order straight. Don't you agree with that, Brother Chris?
Well, absolutely, brother. Brother, I'd like to just put out your, I got a short call from Brother Kevin And he wanted to know your PIN number so he can listen in. And I will tell Brother Kevin. Oh, no, actually, he can't get in. So I'd have to text that back to him. It's 140414, but everybody that's on here knows that, so that's not doing him any good. Anyway, I just got that from him. But no, I agree with that point of view in regard to...
Yes, I mean, we can talk about the sixth chapter of Ephesians all day long, but notice that Paul starts in Ephesians 1. Where he says that we've been chosen in him from the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of his son. And so we could not take on the whole armor of God that we'd be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, we cannot stand against the wiles of the devil unless, in fact, we've been chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. It's an impossibility. And so... You know, and of course, in theological circles, it's a distinction between, you know, supralapsarian and infralapsarian. And, you know, we were talking the other night a little bit about R.C. Sproul. R.C. Sproul at one time claimed to be a double predestinarian, a supralapsarian, and now he's lapsed into ecumenicalism and making statements about the value of the Roman Catholic doctrine and stuff, even in his broadcast. What a slippery slope, because at one time R.C. Sproul was the one that was right in there with Richard Bennett coming against evangelicals and Catholics together, and J.I. Packer and John Stott and Chuck Colson. And this is part of what we're talking about tonight, the whole armor of God, because right now, if I were to say as to the people that are on this call, one of the most important things that we need to be aware of is that this ecumenical movement taking over the world to bring everybody under this one umbrella, okay, and to say that there's no need any longer to evangelize Roman Catholics because they are Christians is a travesty. I mean, because I've got one fellow right here as a witness, Brother Chris Dernan, who came out of Roman Catholicism. Why don't you just give just a brief overview of the contrast between Christianity and Roman Catholicism, Chris?
Well, brother, thank you for recognizing or remembering the fact that I did come out of Roman Catholicism, which is nothing but a cult. And what it does is it puts the Pope or these priests in the stead or vicar of Christ, and it's just complete fallacy. Far be it for you to even open up that book in here, in the realm of, they have their missals and all this other sleight of hand. And
what's a missile?
And a missile is their little pretext of a Bible, which is thwarted and twisted. It's their little book that they've conceived to for you to follow along, but there's never any opening up of the Bible. And from history gone by, they've always had it in Latin, chained to the altar. And the only people that had access to it were people that could understand Latin. But until the Gutenberg printing press and our Reformation fathers had the guts from God to go against this Leviathan of a church that has controlled European countries and kings for great lengths of time. You know, we got the Inquisition. If you're not Catholic, we need to make you Catholic or die. It's not too far away from Allah Akbar, you know, of our day, as far as the Muslim contention. If you're not going to be a Muslim, we're going to cut your head off. You know, I mean, this is what they their point of view. You know,
no,
but it's
so,
just a complete false gospel.
Yeah.
It's just so far away. It's cultish, and it's not. There's nothing Christian about the Catholic heretical system.
Yeah, and it's very deceptive. I mean, Pope Francis, you know, he talks about how that even agnostics and atheists can go to heaven, but yet, you know, it's interesting. And Edward Henry pointed this out in one of his videos when he was being interviewed by Tex Mars. And he pointed this out, that Pope Francis is quick to say to those who are, who are professing Christians who are not Catholic, how they are outside of the faith and they cannot go to heaven. So in other words, atheists can go to heaven. But anyone who professes to be a Christian outside of Roman Catholicism, well, they call them separated brethren, you know, is what they call them.
Yeah, they want to get us back to Mother Church, which is the Catholic Church. This Francis is a complete hypocrite. He is the first Jesuit, and that's a whole nother Jesuit Pope. That's a whole nother realm of discussion. But the Catholics swore up and down they'd never have the black-handed side of the Catholic Church become Pope. Well, they condescended, and thus you have Pope Francis, who's saying, yeah, don't build walls, build bridges. Well, look at America, the dilapidated bridges and street works and so forth. And what? No wall to keep out people that are not citizens? You know, if you're not in Christ, we esteem them not, especially after the first or second admonition. Reject is heresy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm afraid enough people don't do that, and they continue to give them a chance, and you know, they're staunch in their beliefs, and it's not Christian. So we are to depart from that and to move on and try and, you know, ask the Lord, please put people in our pathway that we can evangelize, you know, insofar as for evangelism's sake, for the sake of Christ and the building up of the true faith.
Yes, and I think what we should do, Chris, is let's just go to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and if I could ask you to read for us verse 10 down through verse 18. Okay, 10 through 18. If you could read 10 through 18 for us, and then we could comment. And any comments that you have as you're reading this, feel free to make those comments, and then I'll come back and add my 2 cents, and then we'll proceed from there.
Sure. Verse 10, Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles are the tricks of said. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is Christ. Our dear Christ Jesus is the Word. The Word is our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Well, thank you, Chris. And there's so much to that we can address here. And if we go back, let's just go back up to the 10th verse. Notice here that, and I just want to point this out because I've heard a lot of renditions on this passage of Scripture. First of all, it's very important to notice that Paul is addressing the brethren. He's addressing those who are in Christ. He's not addressing everybody without exception here. He's addressing the brethren. And he's saying, be strong in the Lord. In other words, this is what we were talking about at the outset of the program, that we have a mighty God, an awesome God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. And he is victorious. And so knowing that he is already accomplished, he's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And when he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, or like Chris was saying, the tricks of the devil. Satan is very, very slick. We know that. You know, he's slick. And he deceived Eve. He was more subtle than any beast of the field that God placed in the Garden of Eden. And he is a master liar. And that's why I can without reservation say that Hillary Clinton is devil-possessed.
Yes.
Because she's a master liar. And the reason I'm bringing her up is that look at all the people out there that are just buying her program lock and step without question. And all people know all about Bill Clinton and how he raped all these people.
Oh, yeah.
They know how Hillary attack the people that Bill raped, but yet
women,
they're going to go right along with her. This is what we're talking about. Devil is so slick to pull in, but see, it's also Paul is addressing the brethren here. He's saying he's warning us, and he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not just against, you know. We have challenges with our families, with our kin, our relatives. We have families. We have challenges with other people who are flesh and blood. But, you know, it goes much higher than that up the food chain.
Well, yeah. You know, brother, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, as it were. And you can have a bastion of truth sprinkled with just a little lies. This is how subtle and, like you put, slick. This our adversary is, and he can present, and this is why we have so many churches, you know, and so many splits and schisms, and it's due to the fact that Satan has been able to coerce these so-called preachers of the word, and for the most part, and they have taken and consumed this leaven, this a little lies with a lot of truth. That's how Satan works. He'll give you a lot of truth, but a little lies, and that's all it takes. If you don't have full and perfect truth from the Holy Spirit, you're a goner. Because you've eaten that leaven that's in that lump and that bread, and that is not showbread, for lack of a better term. You know.
Oh, that's so true. You know, and like you were saying, there is, you know, as it goes on, when it talks about principalities and powers, if our spiritual eyes were allowed to be open and we could actually see all of Satan's emissaries, it would be absolutely overwhelming, you know. We used to sing a song, There's more with us than be with him. We're on the winning side. With banners unfurled, we'll tell the whole world that Jesus is captain and guide. There's none to fear when he is near. Though fierce the conflict may be, we'll never give in the fight against sin. With Christ, there's victory. But yet, these rulers, these dark, you know, these people that are just so, they have a purpose to walk in darkness. To walk in darkness. You know, some of these people are purposefully walking in darkness. I mean, you take some of the people, we know some of them, Anton LaVey and, right. And you know,
the whole of the law, yeah.
Yeah.
Do what seemeth good in your own eyes, and that's the whole
right.
of the law, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. As far as mentioning this satanic
Aleister Crowley.
Past, yeah, Crowley and the rest of these guys that really sold their souls for things and pleasure of this earth. There's
yeah.
really no pleasure in this earth in looking back on whatever we've gone through in this earth and seeing the sin and, you know, but our Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins to him. And he's our only advocate. It's Jesus Christ to the Father.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, he talks about, I find it interesting that Paul calls it in the evil day. In the evil day, wherefore taking ye the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Well, it was an evil day in the time that Paul was addressing the brethren there. Just think,
well, it was an evil day, brother, when Eve was in the transgression.
Yes,
that was an evil day, and we're living in. I believe we're in the tribulation, as it were. You know, I mean, people
yes.
are looking for something, some epic thing to happen. To thus set off the tribulation of 7 years. No, I think it's a continual. I think the seven is just the number of perfection of whatever's in view, and that the evil day will just be manifest itself as an evil generation. Well, look, all the generations of evil are all those in those different time periods, all through the history of man. And,
that's
and
right.
What have we gleaned? What have we gained from those that have gone by? They've all been forgotten. You know, who remembers the dead, though they've built streets and named the streets or towns after their own name? Well, they're quickly forgotten, and their riches cannot save them. So what is the point? You know, I think it was Solomon that said, you know, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And, you know, I think he was pretty frustrated at the point of, you know, understanding that it is all vanity and what's to be gained through this life other than for our Lord through his sovereign will to elect you to grace and salvation.
Amen.
And give you evidence thereof.
That's right. You know, he talks about taking on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Now, you know, we've talked about this before, but Christ was standing before Pilate, and Pilate said, "What is truth?" Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so having our loins girded about with Christ.
Yeah.
And we can, and when it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, you know, we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's already paid the price for our sins. Like Brother Chris said, he's already done the work. And when it talks about the gospel of peace, you know, your feet shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I don't think there's any greater joy than when I first spiritually heard the gospel, okay? I heard the gospel preached lots of times, but the first time that I spiritually heard the gospel and that it was applicable to Larry Phillips is when it made all the difference.
That's when the Lord gave you ears.
Amen. Amen. And it was the gospel of peace, because it brought peace to my soul. Notice he said in 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, above all. And there's a lot of people that have not been taking the shield of faith. What's the shield of faith? Because it says here the shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, I believe the shield of faith is simply believing what Christ said.
Well, it may, you know, the shield of faith, talking about verse 16, makes Satan's sowing of doubt about the faithfulness of God and his word ineffective. You know, our faith, which is Christ's faith.
That's not right.
We don't have faith in our faith. We have faith in Christ. Christ was the only one that was faithful.
He's the author and finisher of it, yes.
Yeah, so we have faith in the faith that Jesus possessed. But that same Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter. We could go to Hebrews 12. But it's like a golden shield. And it's solid.
Yes, it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And here we see that we are exhorted to take the shield of faith. And by taking the shield of faith, we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And like Brother Chris was saying, I was sharing this last night on a talk show, you know, one of the best ways to exercise, if you want to use the word, exercise our faith, okay, in the faith of Christ, one of the best ways to exercise the faith that Christ has given us is to praise Christ. Praise him for what he's done for us. Exalt him. Glorify his name, and so on. And so,
well, all glory is to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Father is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and truth. But when we exalt Jesus Christ, his dear Son, that is our e-ticket to the Father. Now, I'm putting in Disneyland terminology, but some people don't understand otherwise. And the thing about the faith of Jesus Christ that he's given with us, you know what amazes me? I think I brought this up with you, Brother Larry, before in regard to... We don't glory in ourselves or anything that this earth has to offer that we've somehow achieved. The real glory comes when Jesus, that's in eternity. That's with our Lord in heaven. And it amazes me that the Lord will impute and share his glory with us in heaven. But at this point, as we live our days out on this earth, we are not to seek any glory. Because remember, our Father in heaven is a jealous God. But it's to the Lord's good pleasure when we get home, heaven that is, the Lord, I don't know to what degree the Lord, you know, gives us glory. But he does give us glory to a certain extent. And I might be, I don't know what level, you know, to attain heaven is enough, you know, one would think. But on top of that, the Lord, because we're heirs of this inheritance, as Jesus is the seed, not seeds, but seed, singular, and he receives the whole inheritance from the Father, and then he shares it with his little brethren, you know, that were saved through his precious blood shed on that wicked cross. On that day that was predetermined by the Father, and through that blood shed, you know, I'm sorry to those that don't want to hear this gory story, but that's too bad. The fact of the matter is, if we don't plead the blood of Christ throughout our life, then we are none of his, because the blood transports us to the kingdom of God.
Yeah, it's that perfect sacrifice spoken of in Hebrews. He entered once into the holy place, and the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and he became our mediator, our high priest. And God looks at his son, and because of his perfect righteousness, he was a perfect substitution. He became our sin bearer. He took our sins upon himself. Now, moving on here, he talks in the 17th verse, take the helmet of salvation. That's what we're talking about, is salvation here. You know, a lot of people say, well, what are you saved from? Well, you know, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, unable to do anything about it. But God, who's rich in mercy, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. And, of course, we see in John 3, Nicodemus came to him by night, and Christ said, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. There, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. This is what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. And so taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, well, what's the sword of the Spirit? Well, it tells us what it is. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, the Word of God can take the form of His written Word. Now, we know in the Old Testament He spoke to the prophets, and it was written down by the scribes, you know, and we have the written word now, and you can do a study on this. It's really interesting if you ever want to do this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord, you know, came to Ezekiel, okay? Mm-hmm. But here's what we do is we take... You know, we take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The reason it's so important to know that we have the Word of God and not some other version or translation that's been altered and changed and hundreds and hundreds of words and verses taken out of it and changed. And I believe, you know, it's my personal belief that the last 430 years, God has preserved His Word in the Authorized King James Version of the Bible.
Yes, absolutely. Let me give a short little interpretation of verse 17. You know, in regard to the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God, which is Christ Jesus Himself, is the Word.
Yes.
And in Revelation, it's, you know, He opens His mouth and there's a two-edged sword, you know, to cut asunder to the marrow. But while all the other pieces of spiritual armor are defensive in nature, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. It speaks of the holiness and power of the Word of God. A greater spiritual weapon is not conceivable. In Jesus' temptation in the desert, the Word of God was always His overpowering response to Satan. What a blessing that that same Word is available unto us.
Oh, that's right. And when you're saying that the Word of God is Christ, you're right on, brother. We have many verses to prove that. John 1:1, you know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you know.
Yeah, we don't understand the Trinity, but again, it's we trust it. You know, it's not three gods. It's God with three persons, I guess. Even then, I may have gotten that wrong. I can't even go there. It's just way beyond me. But well, we will know when we're home. We'll
one
know.
Thing we do know is that the Godhead has always been and will always be. And it's always been in perfect unity. There's never been any dissension amongst the Godhead in perfect unity. And so that's why we can take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. He goes on in 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, think about that. We are to pray for all the saints. You know, we are to make supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Supplication means to supplicate or to petition God. And, of course, that petition is, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then one other thing, and then I want Chris to come back in. But notice in verse 19, he talks about making known the mystery of the gospel. Let me read that. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Chris, what is the mystery of the gospel?
Well, it actually comes down to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great mystery that most people just, shove off when it's presented to them. And unless they're one of God's elect, they'll never perceive the joy that's in us, brother, in regard to that knowing that God has made us aware, opened our eyes and ears to truth. You alluded to Pilate asking Jesus after Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And again, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. But that is the truth. That's the mystery. And, you know, it can be right in front of so many churchgoers, and they never get it because they have pastors with other motives. You know, let's build a new church. Aren't there enough churches built? You know, and they're delivering false gospels. They're giving you some truth. They're giving you a lot of truth a lot of times. Again, but they're throwing in lies, and that's where this whole Arminian free willism came about, which is probably Satan's greatest tool. I think the great secret is that God is sovereign, you know, and we can't mess with that. But man in his free will thinking thinks that he can dictate to the sovereign God, and that man is sovereign. Man is not sovereign. I mean, it's obvious. But the secret is Jesus Christ crucified, and that the Father has elected to salvation whomever he wanted to, and Jesus died faithfully for those sheep. You know, whether I'm the 100th sheep or not.
You're absolutely right. There's a theme that we want to end on, I think would be most exalting to God, and that would be victory. I want to read a few, and then Chris, feel free to jump in at any time. 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And then Psalm 98:1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Isaiah 25:8, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And then we move over to the New Testament. Now, there's about four other ones here. Matthew 12:20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then just two more verses, 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then finally in Revelation, and this I think is very apropos for today, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all of this. But Revelation 15:2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. That's the elect. Amen. That's the elect of God. And so, you know, when we find ourselves in the midst of all this evil going on in our world, turmoil and strife and persecution and suffering and tribulation and all of this, remember to put on the whole armor of God. We'll be able to stand against in this evil day and realize that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and darkness. So Satan is a deceiver, but yet we want to end this with the reality that Christ has gotten the victory for his people. Now, I'm going to open this line up, Brother Chris. Do you have any final comments before we conclude the broadcast, Chris?
Well, I was only going to comment on what you said. The verses that you picked, there is really no – they're pretty plain and simple. It's a simple gospel, and it's plain enough to even the stopped ear. If they would just read these verses, perhaps it could lead to their salvation. I don't know how God works. It's a mystery to me. No one can give you their actual time of their rebirth. Not really. You know, if they're free will, of course they know their date, you know, but that's their assurance and so forth. But I put no confidence in the flesh. And I know that when I'm tempted from without, that I have Jesus Christ as the overpowering victor that can throw away all these and fend off all these workings of the evil one and his minions that try to do their thing against us. And you know, sure, we sin, even though we're saved, we still fall into sin from time to time. But even Jesus has paid for our future sins through his finished work on the cross. And great honor and glory to our Lord and Savior for loving us and actually protecting us.
Amen.
When you talk about the full armor of God, that's really Christ's protection given to his children to protect them from this evil one that is always coming, like a waterfall that's always flowing.
Very well said, brother. And I want to thank Brother Chris for being with me tonight. Enjoyed our fellowship around the Word of God. And I'm going to end this call. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hang up guests 3 and 5. I noticed we have guests 3 and 5, and I think also we have one other guest. If you want to join us, feel free to call in. And I'm going to end this, and then I'll open things up.